Diagnosis and examinations. So you have been advised to have a diagnosis. Would it not be grand if life were so transparent that the experts could tell precisely what ails us, and having told us, could put us on our feet quickly and definitely? But nobody who has lived in this world long has found life so simple at any crucial point. Hence, when you ask for advice about submitting to diagnosis, I naturally hesitate to offer an opinion, because I have known of good results following diagnosis, but on the other hand, I have known of alarm and confusion, a loss of morale. Certainly, I will not abandon your case if you have a checkup. I will not abandon it even if you go to a hospital. You see, the topmost tenet of metaphysical practice is to do the kindly thing. And it is not the kindly thing to abandon a frightened soul groping about for salvation. You write that you feel like having a diagnosis or checkup. Have you not noticed how everyone desires certainty? People demand that ideas and situations be set forth in black and white, not in gray. They want to know even the worst. If sick, they want to know what the disease is, what its name is, so that it can be seized and pitched out. But as we have just observed, there is no way of finding out, and there is no way of pitching out with any degree of certainty. Anybody qualified to speak will tell you just this. The weakness with hospital observation, x-rays, and other tests is that they go no farther than material appearances. They seldom consider the emotional and psychological. They never reach reality. If they should reach reality, they would find perfection, would they not? I have known of sick folk talking a metaphysical treatment or even doing a little clear thinking on their own account before they submitted to a checkup and joyously receiving a report from the subsequent diagnosis that all is well. One time, long years ago, I casually put in print a statement something like this. Life, in its fullness and exclusiveness, functions adequately at all times and in all places. Not the tiniest area in your economy is overlooked by life in its work of construction and maintenance. Originally built of that stuff eternity is made of, your structure is safe against impairment or encroachment. The suppositional forces of decay and disintegration are powerless to invade what are designated teeth and gums. Soundness and stability are the rule of every particle of your makeup. Hold thought faithfully to these simple yet constructive facts, even before dental difficulties actually intrude themselves upon your attention. But if they already seem to have arrived, hold to these same truths consistently and steadfastly, and consciousness will reconstruct your mouth on normal lines. Someday, in the higher reaches of thought, you will realize that your integrity has never been invaded, that your perfection is now as it was when the morning stars sang together, and that really there has been no occasion for repair or rebuilding. I have since been happified to have people report from time to time substantially as follows. I had consulted a dentist. He gave me a date for filling my tooth. Meanwhile, I read your statement. When I seated myself to have the cavity filled, the dentist found a sound tooth. What wrought the change? The patient got some hint of reality. Reality, you know, is undecayed and undecayable. If you will believe that you are a specimen of reality and hold to the fact with its implications, you may discover that yours is an enduring, a permanent structure, perfectly built and perfectly maintained. So, before resorting to material tests, why not know your perfection with such clarity and faithfulness that neither the X-ray nor any other process will condemn you? The errors, if such there be, that harass you are not of the tangible sort, fundamentally. They cannot be touched or handled or seen. But they can be seen through, and the discerning, courageous man looks right through and past them into reality. There is no mystery about the process. You resort to it every day when you refuse to be mesmerized or confused by assertions or symptoms of sickness. Have no anxiety about that approaching physical examination. Since you are well made of that enduring substance called spirit, the examiners may apply their most rigorous tests, X-ray, and so on, only to find that you embody soundness and wholeness. Have no fear. Rather, have every confidence that you are without fault or blemish. Nothing to the contrary can be detected, for it is not there. Keep in mind that the examiners are kindly and just and principled men. This means they will report truly on your case and give you the bill of health you are entitled to. Principle governs the whole situation. Since you are whole and sound throughout, all the tests, blood or otherwise, known to the physicians, will not bring out anything other than a favorable report. You will not have to go through any anxious period or tedious treatment. You will only have to be the nice, sensible woman you always have been. I just turned over the leaves of a document on my desk to find the following. Life is self-existent. It is not caused. It is not created. God does not make life. God is life. Hence it is that life must be impregnable. Spiritual man, and truly there is no other type, is the expression of this life. He is the highest witness to its presence. Really, therefore, sickness and infirmity cannot molest him, cannot molest you. Disease is seeming or mesmeric rather than actual, hence its curability by healthful thinking.